Okay, you know, apologize in advance in case this is hard to follow. Going back and forth on whether I should even bother doing this right now because my thoughts aren't fully formed, but all right. I don't know if you've heard, but Twitter, X, is currently in a battle with the ADL, led by CEO Jonathan Greenblatt, the Anti-Defamation League. That's what the ADL stands for. But really what the ADL is all about is just defending exposure of Jewish criminals and Jewish rackets from scrutiny by the public. That's how it started, as a matter of fact. And even though something called the Anti-Defamation League sounds great, and it would be great if it applied its efforts equally to everyone, I argue that really that's just a front for covering for and censoring information about Jewish criminality. Because they do go after Jews. It's not like they protect all Jews. No, they go after Jews if Jews are talking about Jewish criminals. Like, for example, a really big one that the ADL, with their claims of anti-Semitism, goes around policing is talk of George Soros and his horrible predatory operations all around the world. They don't like people criticizing him in particular. They think that the word, or they also cover for globalism by saying that anyone using the word globalism is secretly anti-Semitic. They hate all Jews. So starting with that as the premise, I just want to talk about some things relating to all of this, the X versus ADL battle, and things I've talked about and uncovered in the past. There was a Spaces, that's this sort of live stream thing they do, voice only, on Twitter. It's called Spaces. So there was a Spaces between, I don't know, there's like 10 people, let's say, hosted by a guy called Mario Nelfall, who was on Twitter and helped expose, I guess, government documents. But it was a bit of a limited hangout operation. He didn't really cover all that there was to cover. So keep that in mind. But this Spaces was interesting for many reasons. I would recommend going to listen to it. With people defending the ADL and people, you know, defending Elon Musk and explaining why the ADL is dangerous. Both sides were represented here. Well, I think the funniest and most key moment of the whole thing is when a woman called Vivian spoke up partway through. She'd been sitting quietly listening, and then suddenly she wanted to speak, and she was so triggered. Oh my God. She said everyone that had spoken so far was making completely unfounded observations, and they were all bad, and they were anti-Semitic themselves for just making these unfounded accusations against the ADL. And honest to God, what she said was totally crazy, because from what I had heard, everybody making claims had some evidence there at the ready to back up their claims. Okay, so there's that. And she was considering some people's opinions to be unfounded accusations, which they aren't. Opinions aren't accusations. Anyway, so she speaks as she's so triggered. She goes down a list of things that she'd written down that she found just heinous. And then someone says to her, Vivian, do you work for the Israeli intelligence firm Black Cube? And then there's the silence. And she says something, she says something like, where are you getting this? And apparently it's right there on her Wikipedia page. that she works for Black Cube. Look, this is an extremely high level, expensive, you know, costly to procure the services of organization, which I believe has been covered. Like, I think Harvey Weinstein had hired Black Cube to go after the people that were accusing him. It's well known, but I won't get into it here. You can go look it up yourself. Anyway, this Vivian person, after someone asks her about it, pretty much has the proof of it right there. She just exited the conversation. She didn't say anything. And she didn't say anything more. So that was really funny. It turns out, by the way, she's Canadian. Israeli-Canadian with a dual citizenship. Canada is just full of spies and mafia and monopoly corporations. And it's a cesspool here. So it's kind of not surprising that she lives here, but I know the States is just as bad. Okay, so I listened to that first thing this morning. It's up really early. And I don't remember what it was that brought it up. Oh, yes. And then I see a tweet by Bad Kitty Unleashed. Great account on Twitter, X, if you want to follow. Bad Kitty Unleashed. Who was talking about the participation of Ukrainians. And he says, or she, I think it's a he, that they were from the Azov Battalion. At the January 6th riots, January 6th so-called insurrection. And that story, that there was Ukrainian film crew there, Ukrainian agitators at January 6th, broke in January 2021. I saw it. I think I mentioned it in one of my videos from that time, though I didn't go deep into it. I had meant to, but I didn't. And the important thing to understand about this is that the people there at Jan 6 from Ukraine are tied in with a Jewish oligarch called Kolomoisky. Kolomoisky owns lots of businesses, I think, but one of the main ones is a media company. And it was the media company that produced the show, the television show, which starred Zelensky. Okay, and Zelensky's popularity from that show is what propelled him to, quote, win the last election in Ukraine. All right, and if you recall, Trump had a quote-unquote perfect phone call with Zelensky when Zelensky was first made president. But it was that phone call which formed the eventual basis for the impeachment proceedings that they brought against Trump. If you recall, those first impeachment proceedings had an abundance of people tied to Ukraine involved in giving evidence against Trump. There was Marie Yovanovitch. There was Gregory Pyatt. And these two were both ambassadors in Ukraine. And then there was Alexander Vindman, who was on Trump's Security Council. He is Ukrainian. Came to the U.S. in the 80s. Via Italy. They went from Ukraine to Italy to New York. And they landed in New York in this place very well known for bringing over tons of Soviet Jews and Soviet expats. Tons of them. Tens of thousands all at once. Anyway, and then a lot of these people that were brought over were sponsored by by one or another Jewish organizations. And what they did was they grabbed them all up and made a little community of them all. They kept in close touch. And if you want to see how this went with Alexander Vindman and his family, I have a video that I did way back called Next Generation Corruption. And it's all about... And what's his name? Vindman. And it goes through how the Russian mafia and the Italian mafia and Jewish organizations, like, we're subverting. We're running crimes all over the place. And the FBI knew about it, but did nothing. There's so much in that video that I did, and it might be a little hard to follow because some of the stuff was more relevant at the time of the Trump impeachment, which is when I did the video. But if you just go and just try to absorb what I'm saying in there, you're going to see how, I mean, to me, all of this put together, what I've just said this morning, all this put together shows that there has been a mafia style takeover of the entire U.S. apparatus. And, it extends now way further. It's global now because some of these people have hands in these ESG organizations and huge venture funds that can basically extort major companies to, they'll threaten them. They'll threaten to ruin their revenue, ruin their valuation, take down their stock, destroy the company unless the companies do the bidding of these people, of this network. And that's basically what Elon Musk is saying. He's now saying it straight out on the in the open on Twitter. He has tweeted out that the ADL and its strong arm tactics, going behind its back, trying to get advertisers and that to withdraw support from the platform, has cost Twitter 60% of its business. 60% of a $44 billion evaluated company when Musk took over. That's huge. And this is basically how these people, this network, has run their game. And it looks to me like they groomed tons of young people to take their places. They knew what places these people were going to occupy at some point in the future. It's taken these children, groomed them through their whole lives, guided their careers, gotten them promotions, put them into place so that they could spring this stuff on whatever organization they work for or go out into the media and cause a firestorm at the right time. Basically like sleeper agents all over the place, okay? And to me, that's what Alexander Vindman and his twin brother, Eugene, and his older brother, Leonid, that's what they look like to me. And I show you, they brought these kids over. They were dressed up in little sailor suits from the time they were 5-6 years old. They were going to be in the Navy. And that's what ended up happening with them. One of them got put on the President's Security Council. And the Security Council is the organization which began the whole impeachment process against Trump. And it just so happens that they're all from Ukraine. It's all tied to Ukraine. Who runs Ukraine since 1990? George Soros and his network. I did a story about that as well called Anti-Corruption is the New Corruption. It goes through how George Soros took over Ukraine when the Soviet government ended there. And it is, it's damning evidence. And it's not just for me. I mean, I use the work of many researchers to show that. And Canada had a huge role in that. He handpicked quite a few people from Canada. But the thing is that they're not Canadian. These were also, just like Alexander Vindman, these were people who, quote unquote, escaped Ukraine and came and emigrated. Chrystia Freeland, Canada's deputy prime minister, is an Alexander Vindman type person because she's always been loyal to Ukraine. This is what her whole life has been about, groomed from when she was a child. And now she's playing her role. And we see, of course, the Ukraine war raging on, and how that is extorting and hogging up so many, many hundreds of billions of dollars, maybe trillions of dollars by now. It's the heist to end all heists. I don't know, am I making any sense? Like, there's so many other things I want to pull into this. We've heard how Antifa was trained by the Azov Battalion over there in Ukraine. We've heard that January 6th shenanigans were being perpetrated and filmed by members of the Azov Battalion linked directly to Kolomoisky, his television network. And apparently, Richard Spencer's group that started the whole Charlottesville thing, remember that was the first big attempt to take Trump down, with the good people on both sides thing. That apparently is tied back to the Azov Battalion. So there is deep, deep stuff going on here. Deep, long-ranging plans going on here. And the ADL, to me, is simply, it's one of the enforcement arms of whatever this group is. So they have Jews or people who say they're Jews, okay? Like, they could be total Satanists, but they call themselves Jews and they hide in the cloak of the Jewish victim group. So anytime anyone gets close to exposing the crimes of someone who is Jewish or makes a claim to being Jewish, the ADL springs into action and says, like, banish it, ban this information. And at this point, a lot of corporations and a lot of media outlets, they do just that. They listen to it. And this allows this crime to go on and on. This ties over to Jeffrey Epstein, of course, because he's alleged to be Jewish intelligence. And a lot of the people that he was in bed with are, huge, rich Jewish businessmen. Les Wexner and the whole mega group with the Bronfmans and, Steven Spielberg was in that group. You'd have to go look. You'd have to go look it up. But super high crimes of extortion, super high levels of double agents for, say, Russian intelligence plus Israel intelligence. Like the one guy, Kalmanovich, he was in bed with all these people, and he's a known super mafia guy. How can you be fingered as a spy, then move to Russia, and just become a big scammy businessman there? Don't tell me that the Russians didn't know about this, and they just hands off, let him run these frauds over in Russia. It's all tied together. There is a group of people who they laugh when we point fingers at countries. They laugh, you know, Russia versus Ukraine. That's hilarious to this group of people because they kind of sit above it all. They're like, you ever played Risk? The game Risk, the board game Risk, and it's just a map of the world, and you get to try to take over countries. You put your little men on them. How many troops do you have in each country? Well, the countries, they're irrelevant. People are just trying to take over the world. And that's what, you know, you get some little country in Risk. You put a ton of men on Kamchatka or something. Nobody wants Kamchatka. They just want their troops there so that they can hop into the next country and take it over. That's how these people operate. And the crown jewel that they want to conquer, but they probably already have really conquered it when you think about it, is the United States. So, the stuff with the ADL, with Elon Musk going after them. We'll see what happens, because this could all end up giving the ADL and groups like them more power, because then they're just going to say, see, we really are victims. We really are discriminated against. And maybe Joe Normie will believe that. Maybe they will. But the truth of the matter is, these people know no religious authority. They know no religious allegiance. It's just a word they paste onto themselves so that they can claim to be victims. You know, and then there are people out there who think, that all Jews would support the behavior of the ADL. I just don't think that's true. I just wish more Jewish people would come out and say that that is reprehensible, that they don't want to be known as victims anymore, that this is all horse crap perpetrated by international criminals to hide their crimes. Because that's what it is. The connections are so deep. And like I said, I rewatched that video of mine, Next Generation Corruption. I forgot how deep and tangled it all is, but it really is. And then you combine that with the Soros stuff that I put all together in that one video, Anti-Corruption is the New Corruption, out of Ukraine. When you look at the geography of Ukraine, where it is located in the world and how it has such rich, fertile soil and the size of it and all of that, it's the perfect new hub from which the globalists could operate. Much, much bigger than Israel. Much, much bigger. And I do think there's a plan to make at least the southern part of Ukraine this thing they call Heavenly Jerusalem. They want to empty it out so that they can bring the Jews over there. That's at least some people's plan. But that could also be just some kind of weird psyop to hide what they're really doing. I don't know. But we are watching as Ukraine is turning into one of the first mega digital economy, fourth industrial revolution economies. They're all about Big Brother over there. They're all about CBDCs and tracking databases and things like that. All right. I feel like there was a whole other point that I had wanted to make, and that's why I started this video. But you know what? It's so tangled and convoluted that I've lost it, if there was. I don't know. What do you think? What do you think in the comments? Let me know. Do you think that this thing that's been in the works since the Second World War, maybe before, probably before, to be honest, do you think it's kind of coming to its crescendo now? It's what it feels like to me. It feels like these people who, I swear, bred children purposely to put them in positions, training people like Alexander Vindman and Chrystia Freeland up through their whole lives, feeding them this ideology. And most of them have to do with Ukraine for some reason. Ukraine or Russia. They trained them up and now they're grown-ups and they're in their important positions, maneuvered there by these forces. That we're at the point where they want their end game. I think that's what we're looking at here. I really do. And I don't think they've won by any stretch of the imagination. I don't think they've won this battle. But they're going for it. That's what it feels like to me. They're pulling the rug out of a lot of economies right now. They're clamping, they're you know, saber-rattling about their next lockdown with some stupid fake virus that they don't even have to invent it. All they have to do is say it exists. Lots of things coming down the pike. I suspect their cyber attacks are going to ramp up big time, and I don't know why. I have a feeling it's going to be around the 22nd or 23rd of September. I think that something might happen then. But listen, this is just me speculating. Don't get scared or whatever, but just keep an eye out. Let me know in the comments if you have any evidence to support anything that I'm speculating about. We can try to collect it up in one place. Okay. Well, now the real noise has begun. Guess I'll sign off. Thanks for being here, everybody. Head to AmazingPolly.net, where you can find my P.O. Box address, a digital form in which you can send me a financial gift if you'd like to, if you can. But we are in some tough times, so make sure it's something you really can do before you do it. Thank you to everybody who has been here and supported me and shared this work and commented and liked and subscribed. Please keep doing that. God bless you all. God bless all of us who are committed to the truth in these crazy times. All right, everybody. Until next time, peace out.